are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Oui.
Hello, one and all. Welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session. We're back on our bullshit once again, our black metal bullshit. Today is one of my favorite days in the Fundamentalist Podcast calendar, and that's because it is the return of Blackest of the Black 2023 edition, where we're going to go over all of the best black metal that I and my co-host, Richard, had the pleasure of listening to this calendar year. Quick little blurbs about each individual album. We don't have time to give full reviews of all, I think, 32 we're going to be going over today.
That's all just 32. No big deal.
Yeah. We also reviewed a couple of these earlier during the year. So if you want more deeper dive, you can go back and listen to those episodes. As I've already mentioned, my perpetual partner in pretentious piss takes and elitism, Richard Donahue, joins me again. How goes it, sir?
Going very well. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Just finished up a tattoo sesh. So, got my whiskey. The cheap, shitty kind. It's perfect.
Nice.
It's cold, grim. It's dark at like 3:30 over here. So it's like the perfect time to start talking about black metal.
Nice.
With all that being said, let's get right into it because we have a lot to fucking talk about. First record I want to highlight comes to us from Valdrin. Their album Throne of the Lunar Soul was actually just released fairly recently here on November 24th, 2023. Valdrin is signed to Blood Harvest Records. They tend to talk about like mythology and general fantasy bullshit. It's funny, the band used to exist under the name Viravoid and then as Dawn of Wolves before finally settling in on Valdrin, which is the name they've operated under since 2010. Their first record, Beyond the Forest, came out in 2014, and this is their fourth full-length release. Throne of the Lunar Soul is kind of a melodic/symphonic take on black metal with fantasy lyrics. There's some absolutely epic sections. There's some really somber sections with piano and things like that. But there's a lot of energy that never really lets up throughout the entire record. If there's something I could criticize it for, is that I think it is a little too long, 11 tracks, an hour and 13 minutes.
It definitely takes
its time. But there are some standout tracks here. The Golden Walls of Asalgir, Seven Swords in the Arsenal of Steel, Paladins of Asalgir, Sojourner Wolf, clean edit, and The Hierophant. Also, big shout out to Two Carrion Talismans. Great, great songs. They just stick around, which isn't a bad thing when you're creating black metal as high quality as Valdrin. Donahue, did you get a chance to check out Valdrin at all?
I listened to the first track. And I did enjoy it, but I do agree with you. It was a bit long, so I could have shaved, let's say, a minute or two off, a little more punchy. But I did enjoy it. I will get to it before our album of the year episode to see if it makes it.
I highly recommend that you do so, sir. The very next record I know you checked out and I know you fucking loved because anyone who listened to it obviously did. And that is Ebony Pendant's self-titled release. Ooh. Ebony Pendant is an unsigned band from Seattle, Washington. They've been around actually only since about 2019. At least that's when their first demo came out. Sempiternal Passage Through Realms of Suffering and Hatred. Yes, you can tell this band.
That's a mouthful.
Oozes that black metal style, and this self-titled album is no different. Starting off from the very first track, Ichor Drenches My Athame, the idyllic gate between realms, and finally, by the time the third track comes around, the Immortal Son of Damnation, your lips are curling in that goddamn, this is some filthy, evil-ass shit. And it never truly lets up. There's also three really, really cool, moody instrumentals, A Castle in the Woods, Spiritual Siphoning, and The Cave Temple as well. This is like the perfect D&D sesh black metal. Absolutely loved it. Also, it came out on June 25th, but I didn't listen to it for the first time until late October, early November. And I'm glad that, one, it caught my eye because they're unsigned and they only came up across my radar because I was listening to something else and Spotify was like, hey, you might like this. And you know what? Sure enough, Spotify, you were fucking right. Richard, I know you did get a chance to listen to this, and I'm pretty sure you love it just as much as I do.
Yeah, this shit, this is the fucking tits. Like, goddamn, this pretty much hits everything I love about Black Metal. It's fucking raw. It has that evil vibe, but still really catchy songs. It's the acoustic section, the melodic sections, even honestly, parts of the record kind of remind me of Rotten Christ, Triarchy of Lost Lovers, one of my favorite Black Metal records, with the moodiness, the melody, and just the fucking blasting. It's just, it's pretty much have your cake and eat it too when it comes to Black Metal. I highly recommend this. One of the best Black Metal records I've heard all fucking year. No doubt.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Another great record that we've heard this year that we were looking forward to almost the entire year. You probably, hopefully, heard the review on the last episode of the podcast, and that's The Rime of Memory from Panopticon. Now, in my opinion, as you heard in the review, it's not quite as good as And Again Into the Light or The Scars of Man on the Once Unnamed Wilderness, or really a lot of the other fantastic Panopticon releases. But if a slightly disappointing, shall I say, release is as good as this, then, you know, you've got no problems as a band. Songs like Winter's Ghost and Cedar Skeletons.
Oh, absolutely, Cedar Skeletons, dude. Straight fire, straight gas, as the kids say. Wow.
Takes you away, paints you a picture of the northern Minnesota woods in wintertime. Finally, with the Blue Against White ending in this cathartic, melodic crescendo that really only Panopticon can bring you. A little overly long. It's six tracks, but there's really only five because the first one is an instrumental that's less than 2 minutes long. I mean, listen to these song lengths. 19 minutes, 56 seconds, 16 minutes, 22 seconds, 9 minutes, 24 seconds, 12 minutes, 38 seconds, and 15 minutes and 7 seconds. Five tracks essentially make up well over an hour. Earlier this year, we gave credit to Wayfarer for kind of finally reeling in some of that overindulgence.
Trim of the fat, yeah. Leave it on the cutting room floor.
And I kind of wish Panopticon had done a little bit of that on this record. But that's not to say it's bad. It's not. No, no, it's actually great. The Rime of Memory from Panopticon is one of the finest Black Metal albums you will hear this year. Just be prepared to be listening to it for a long time.
Just set up an afternoon, so just clear your schedule.
An album we won't spend too terribly much time on is Into Sorrow Evermore from Imperium Decadence. And that's just because we actually reviewed this on the very first reviews pod of 2023 when we were talking about Hell Ripper and Ahab. Imperium Decadence has been around since 2004. They're currently signed to Napalm Records. And Into Sorrow Evermore is the same keep and helping of melancholic, melodic Black Metal that you come to know and hopefully love like we do from Imperium Decadence. Songs like Elysian Fields and Forest from the Gale absolutely deliver the goods.
November Monument, great stuff. Super Sad Boy riffs, big fan.
Yes. The final track, Memories, A Raging River. There's really not a bad track on here. Eight songs, 50 minutes. Also starting to border on a little long, but not quite Panopticon levels. Quite a far cry from it. Released back in January 20th, so I actually started to listen to this album again because I wanted to refresh my memory as I'm starting to put together my end of the year lists. And this is definitely one of the finer releases of the year, not only in Black Metal, but also just general metal. Richard, do you have anything you want to say about this record?
I actually was re-listening to it about half of yesterday. I'd say it still holds up. I still very much enjoy it. Now, some of the other stuff by like Ebony Pendant and another band we're going to discuss later, Three Eyes in the Void. I was shining a bit before that kind of sad boy melancholic style. Still definitely in the upper crust of that genre, for sure. And worth a listen.
This next album we're going to be talking about is another podcast darling, particularly of Richard and myself, and that is Moonlight Sorcery. Finally here with their first full-length album, The Horned Lord of the Thorned Castle. We had been big fans of their first two EPs that they had released last year, and goddamn, they're back with another heap and helping of downright danceable Black Metal. Frostbitten riffs with a side of Yngwie Malmsteen 80s hair metal ballsiness that just takes this Finnish interpretation of Black Metal to heights therefore unseen, or rather unexpected, I should say. It's like if Children of Bodom was blacker, and less cheesy. That's, I feel like that's about as high praise as you can give it. Into the Silvery Shadows of Night, fantastic. Secret of Streaming Blood, amazing. Yes. And the lead single, which is my favorite track, In Coldest Embrace, will absolutely have your horns high, high up in the air. Richard, I know you also want to heap some praise on this record.
Oh, yeah, no, this is fantastic. The last EP I enjoyed, it was a bit of a letdown compared to the first one, but this one kind of brought back more of the grandioseness and the oomph that I felt the more primitive last EP kind of did. It wasn't really their strength. They're past that. They already ascended. Now they're going to go back down the mountain. No, keep on going higher. No, no, don't yet with those peasants. Be up there with the golden tears and whatnot. But this is a fantastic release. Gestured Bloodsuck Ritual is a song I enjoyed as a lot, as well as track 5, which is all and finished. Vihan Berhan Taka is another song I enjoyed a lot, but there's not a bad song on this whole record. I can't recommend it enough for symphonic, empowered black metal.
Yeah, I think that's about a fairly accurate description. Not words you would expect to put together, but you know, it works. It works. It works insanely well. And this, like you said, this is only their first full-length release. Hopefully we'll be looking forward to many, many more to come if the quality is anywhere like this. You might remember this next band from the half-year black metal review, and that's Grah. They put out their record Lycaon back in January of this year. Songs like White City Devil and The Flame of Hephaestus, great mid-tempo black metal. I think I was really harping on this during the mid-year review about how usually this style of black metal with these sorts of vocals, that typical, it's just balls to the wall, blast beats, and Satan. And while there is plenty of death worship and even a Bathory cover on this record in the track Chariots of Fire, they really keep things constrained, at least behind the drum kit, which gives this record a style on its own. It's cool, calm, collected. It's in no hurry to get to where it's going. It's fully confident in what it's doing, and you will be too the more and more that you listen to it. Speaking of confidence and where they're going, Hellripper, on the way fucking up. Way, way, way up. Their latest release, Warlocks, Grim, and Withered Hags, doesn't really stray too far from their blackened thrash, black and roll formula that they have been slowly perfecting over the years. But this record, goddamn, might just be their magnum opus, starting with one of the best tracks, not black metal, tracks of the year, The Knuckle of V and Into I, The Deceiver. There is not a bad track on here. Scratch that. There's not a less than really good track on there. The self-titled track, great.
Yes.
Goat
fucking bagpipes, like right at the end of the fucking dead. The title track is fucking majestic, dude.
Yeah, waving that Scottish black metal flag real high. The cursed carrion crown, the hissing marshes. Right. Yes.
Poison, pretty much every song. Poison Womb, Curse the Witches, great. Like, yeah, start to finish, all killer, no fucking filler, dude. If you like Black Thrash, Midnight, shit like that, you're going to fucking love this shit, dude.
The last track, Mester Store Worm.
Yes.
Might just be Well, it's not the best because The Knuckle of V is already there, but it's one of the best.
Yes, definitely.
I can't heap enough praise on this record. The solos are ripping. Whether you're a thrash metal head or a black metal fan, there's something you will find here for you to enjoy. And if Hellripper's not already on your radar, then what are you waiting for? Get on the bandwagon, because Onward and Upward is the only place this band is going. We mentioned them earlier when we were discussing Panopticon, but another podcast darling released a new record this year, and that is Wayfarer, their newest release, American Gothic. Impressed not only me, but Richard Donahue, as well as Peter Bogg. Finally reined in some of that indulgence, some of that overindulgence, I guess you could say, with those overly long tracks that they were kind of known for. And they've really perfected, not just honed in, but arguably perfected this Western frontier black metal sound. Still very dark, still very evil. The black metal's still there, but it expresses itself in ways you might not expect. And that's really, really nice to hear when you're coming off a release like A Romance with Violence, where I had already thought that perhaps they had maxed out the potential of this concept. But Wayfarer still shows to prove us wrong. They've still got gas left in this tank, and they're still improving on what they're doing. And it's one of the best black metal releases of the year. Reaper on the Oil Fields, To Enter My House, Justified, High Plains yes. Eulogy, Black Plumes Over God's Country are some of my standout tracks.
Yeah, pretty much all the songs. But one that also one thing I love about this record too is the way the whole record just flows. Like one track ends, it kind of carries the melody almost to the oncoming track. It's almost like a movie soundtrack or something, really. Like the lyrics, you picture it in your head. Like it very much has that cinematic aesthetic. So I'm not something pretentious or anything, but it's a really killer stuff. So definitely would recommend it for sure. That's coming from my elitist ass, so that's saying something.
The record flows indeed. Flows really, really smoothly. Like too many beers, like too many beers at a Norwegian black metal festival that you may or may not have gotten kicked out of. Which brings us to this next band, Black Braid. They're back with the infinitely creative titled album, Black Braid. Two. Now, while their creativity obviously wasn't around when they were naming the album, it is everywhere else here on this record. Maybe a little metalcore-ish for some of you elitist twats out there, but for everyone else, you're going to find a great black metal album here. Tons of metal-y, tons of energy, actually a little bit of a drumming style that you wouldn't necessarily associate here. And I think that's kind of where some of the metalcore, I guess you could say, kind of comes in. Also in some of the leads and some of the melodic riffs, I think that metalcore personality kind of shows itself a tad. They are from upstate New York. So I know that Northeast is kind of known for having that metalcore permeate into their
Switch on Earth, All That Remains, Shadows Fall. God forbid, let's go on, Hate Breed, all that shit. Well, maybe definitely don't Hate Breed here, thankfully. That'd be bad. That'd be bad. Yeah.
The Northeast is known for their metalcore. It's kind of their imprint on the world of heavy metal here in the last 10 to 15 years. So if it creeps in a little bit of their black metal, that's just fine when they're giving us tracks like Moss Covered Bones on the Altar of the Moon.
Yes.
Or the greatest track on this record, A Song of Death on the Winds of Dawn.
Yeah,
I was
about to call that one out. Like, yes, fuck it. Peak that, in my opinion, dude.
Fantastic stuff. Not too much of a departure from what you already heard on the original Black Braid. So if you didn't like Black Braid 1, you're probably not going to like Black Braid 2. But considering I did like Black Braid 1, I liked it a lot. It made my top 10 albums of the year last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago. I anticipate Black Braid 2 will be somewhere thereabouts again this year.
That was last year. Yeah, 22. So they have the EP, then they had 22... first Black Braid 1 and Black Braid 2. So maybe Black Braid 3 at the end of the next year. So just keep the cycle going.
While Black Braid 2 was not a surprise in its quality, this next band's release was a little bit so. Usually once a band has lost key members and they're coming back as a little bit of a skeleton crew, your expectations kind of start to diminish. I'm looking at you, Sepultura. But Immortal is back with a new record called War Against All, and it exceeded all of my expectations. Tracks like War God and Return to the Cold are reminiscent of some of the finest releases that Immortal has ever put out, a bot or not. Nordlandir is also a fantastic track. There's
Return to Cold, great one.
Great traditional black metal here.
No, son, I mean,
it reminds you just why Immortal at one time was at or near the top of the entire black metal genre and why they continue to persist to this day with or without some original members. Yeah. Richard, I know you also enjoyed this record like I did.
I enjoyed this record a lot. I thought it was a slight notch or two below their 2018 record, Northern Chaos College, which I thought was fucking great start to fucking finish. Like, it did prove that even with the Both leaving, Demon Oz could still, you know, helm the ship, so to speak, and keep putting out fantastic black metal. So, you know, as a notch or two, it's still a very high quality black metal release. I would definitely recommend to any past fan of Immortal, or let's say you never heard of Immortal before. This was doing a good record to start off with, and then go back to the earlier raw shit, to like the thrashy, you know, at the Heart of Winter, Damn to Black, Sons of the Lord of Darkness, and the comeback stuff. So, yeah, good representation of the band as a whole, I'd say, this release. War Against All.
War Against All, Immortal. Check that shit out if you've not done so already. These next two releases are about to get fucking German, or at least they come to us from German-speaking land, shall we say. First up, it's Thrawn. Their 2021 release, Pilgrim, was one of my favorite releases of
great
that year.
Album.
Tracks like Hosanna in the Highest absolutely gripped me, and this band was immediately catapulted onto my radar, and they've stayed there. currently signed to Listenable Records. They are back with Dust. And does it live up to Pilgrim? Well, in a word, fucking yes. Tracks like Dying in the Mud, Return, The True Belief.
Golden Calf.
Very, very clever lyrical play here. You might just assume black metal. Oh, okay. We're going to talk about
Satan,
death,
booga, booga,
death and
booga.
Satan. But there's there's some heady, nihilistic, existential stuff going on here to go along with the typical criticism of religion. And there's also some great fucking riffs. I would say that it kind of reminds you a little bit of Behemoth, like the Satanist era of Behemoth, but better, without the cheese. No goofy, creepy children's choir vocals or anything like that. Just tons of badass metal, badass black metal. Which tracks like The Tyranny of I.
I'd call that one out. On that's a really good one. Yeah, I would say this one's a little more melodic than the last record, but in a good way. Like almost like they took like the good bits of Amon Amarth and put it in with the more introspective lyrics than a lot of black metal. But they have a good release. I feel Dust was a bit better, like a panache or two, but still a solid release by this band. So hopefully they continue their ascension.
Absolutely. 11 tracks, 55 minutes. You really can't go wrong by listening to Thrawn, whether this record or Pilgrim. Moving on to Switzerland, this band, Ara, is just on an absolute fucking tear. Their first record came out in 2019, and they've just been spitting shit out. Full length, and Ergo and I, 2020. 2021, Triad 1, Eos. 2022, Triad 2, Hemera. EP, Pathonos. 2022, and now 2023, another full-length release, Triad 3, Nyx. Wow, what can I say about this record other than it's blisteringly quick, very, very somber in its melodies. It's all about, like, their lyrical content is really about the destruction of man, and, like, you kind of get that. Imagine like watching the world burn. It's like
there's the soundtrack. You're Nero
playing the violin as you watch the world burn. This album is playing while it's happening. Stuff will bring it like guitar harmonies that will bring a tear to your eye with a really innate viciousness that's just bubbling beneath the surface that really only comes out every now and then, but it's always there. It's just being hidden by, I would say, some rather beautiful instrumentation. I really, really like it. 6 tracks, 41 minutes, does not really overstay its welcome too much, and it really lends itself to multiple listenings. Cannot recommend this album enough. Tracks like The Wanderer's Traum or Moribunda.
Track 2, I very much liked a lot. Emphasa der Seelenpine, probably butchered that, but...
Seelenpine. Emphasis on the like soul pain or some shit.
Yeah. I've never heard this band before. You know, Jewel started throwing bands out into Slack, and this shit's a banger. Like, I'm used to Black Ball, but this is like the shrieky, like sharpest of vocals. It's been a year's price I've heard vocals. I would call this intense, almost, I would say, painful to listen to, you know, but the music's just really well produced, melodic black metal, as well as progressive. Like, you tell a lot of efforts put into every the songwriting, the mixing, the mastery, to make it sound like just smooth, clear, just lots of oomph. There's some good shit. I'm definitely going back in their back catalog, checking this band the fuck out.
Speaking of good shit, lots of oomph and heavy emphasis on back catalog. Enslaved are back with another release, Heimdall. Keeping with the theme of, is it black metal? Is this an art project? Is it avant-garde black metal? Who cares? It's Enslaved. Theme of their last few records, Heimdall continues to push the boundaries of what black metal is, but by the end of the record, you stop caring whether or not it's black metal because it's just a fucking good release. I would still maintain that it is black metal. It just is redefining what that means. Tracks like Congelia and The Forest Dweller are typical, I guess you could say, Enslaved tracks, at least new Enslaved anyway. There's so much harmony and weird instrumentation going on here. Maybe you could say that the energy of some of these songs is broken up a little bit by some of the creative decisions, I guess you could say.
It can come off as disjointed. I'd say, but I feel it's improved about Utgard, which I did like a lot, but that and this, Utgard is like almost like sleepy time vibe to it. This one is a little more oomph, a little more punch to it, which I liked. And I feel like kind of balanced the, you know, the riffs and the heaviness with the more proggy avant-garde je ne sais quoi they were doing the past couple of years, really 15 or 20 years. Solid release by the band, definitely. If you're a fan of Slayer, you'll like the newer stuff. So
we've already been recording for 30 minutes and we're nowhere near the end. So I'm just going to have to start burning through these. Mork is back with a new release. Depet, do you like frosty black metal, slightly lo-fi production? Do I have a band for you? They're called Mork and their album is called Depet. Listen to it. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, good shit. A little sadder. Compared to the last, we got a little more sad, more riffy melodies than expected by comparison to the last record. But I did enjoy it, though. So I thought it was a bit more consistent. I thought the last one was a little choppy. This one a little more consistent. But solid release, though. Like your black metal with a side of sadness. So this might be the album for you.
Sad. Not quite so sad. More Lovecrafty and Elder Gods and on the verge of madness tinged. Sulfur Aeon is back with Seven Crowns and Seven Seals, one of Richard's favorite releases of the year.
Top five easy, dude.
This band does not deviate from the formula. Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft themed shit, Cthulhu mythos, insanity, world ending, disgusting elder gods and beings that would drive you insane at the mere sight or mention of them. Tracks Life Beneath the Ziggurats and the aforementioned Seven Crowned and Seven Seals.
Yes.
And Arcane Cambrian Sorcery are some of the best in the band's catalog. And while, in my humble opinion, it does not quite reach the heights of their debut record, that does not mean that this album is not a banger, because it absolutely is.
Check it out, kids. Buy it. I still have to buy it, but when I can, I buy it. It's great. I just don't need a U.S. importer because I don't want to pay all the fees to buy it from fucking overseas.
Next band, Bizarre Cult, Den Tapta Kriegen. I actually saw this band open up for Belphegor last year. Do you like Belphegor? Do you like harmonies? Do you like really fast chainsaw guitars that converge into harmonies while talking about Satan?
I'm vaguely interested, yes.
Bizarre Cult is for you. It's Belphegor without the bondage and sadomasochism, but still plenty of the quality. Then Tap the Kriegen. Check that shit out. Next band, slightly more proggy. And by slightly, I mean a lot more proggy. As in Gardens, So in Tombs, the latest release from .. and Oceans is here. Jesus Christ. Talk about taking you on a journey.
Yes.
Richard, you got to listen to this album for the first time earlier today. You haven't gotten to take a lead on any of these records. Tell me a little bit about what you thought about this.
This one, I didn't know what to expect. I'd seen the name a couple times this year. So putting on in a very symphonic black metal, but it's serious, but does take self super seriously, like the Hooded Ritual thing, like the big headedness of like emperor worship bands. It's that style, but I guess more it's fun. You know, it's an odd term to say. It's just fun. It's happier sounding, but it just flows really well. Like there's lots of, you know, there's heavy parts, the prog part. I think it just flows magnificently. It takes on a journey, man. It's very good. And it's finished too.
There's some slight industrial influence on here too.
Yes, there is.
Some symphonic elements here as well. Like there's a lot going on here. It's not just a straight up black metal record. There's a lot of subgenres that are being mixed together. They're currently signed to Season of Mist. And if maybe straight up traditional black metal is not your thing, then there's certainly something you will find that you'll like here. 10 tracks, 50 minutes, not overly long. Released January 27th, 2023, As in Gardens, So in Tombs by And Oceans is one of the best black metal releases of 2023.
This was also apparently their first record like 18 fucking years, too. I guess they took a break, just came back with this record, which is pretty great to take that long break and come out with this fucking release as you're like, we're back, album. Like, set the bar pretty high, but I would definitely keep it a watch and maybe U.S. show, that'd be nice. East Coast, Boston, specifically.
Another band I just saw recently live that really encouraged me to check this record out is Hellruin. Hellruin comes to us from Groningen in the Netherlands. They're currently signed to New New Era Productions. Their first release came out in 2016. That was a demo, their first EP that they put out themselves, A Thousand Dreams, in 2020. Really lo-fi, melodic black metal. This is shit you cut yourself to and sacrifice your girlfriend to Satan to. Six tracks, 44 minutes, black and white album covers, gauntlets with 8-inch nails sticking out of them. What
only
more
8 inches?
Do you want?
That's all. Disappointed. Kerry, 90s Kerry King called. He gets the 10 inches, pun intended.
The spikes might not be long enough, but the tracks have plenty of teeth. The flame still burns within me. Devil's Death and Dark Arts and Riddles and Devil's
great.
Tongue. Fantastic examples of what Hellruin is trying to do. It's gripping. Gripping. Especially if you like your black metal a little down and dirty. And let's be honest, who doesn't? If you're listening to this episode, Hellruin, Devil's Death, and Dark Arts. Check it out. Next release. So when you think of American atmospheric black metal bands like Panopticon come to mind, but you would also say Minnenwerfer does. And so with that in mind, it was a little bit of a jarring listen when I first listened to Feuervaults, because goddamn, this record was shot out of a cannon and does
right
not
to your
let
fucking
go.
Face. Just artillery fire to the face. Just does not let up the whole time. Just, dude.
Much in the same way that a DMT trip just rips you out of your body and does not let go until it's finished, so too does Feuervaults from Minnenwerfer. Starting with Cemetery Fields, finishing up with Labyrinthine Trench Sectors, this World War I themed American black metal album is gripping. And goddamn, is it pissed off. And I love it. It's showing a side of the band that you didn't expect, or at least I wasn't really expecting.
I wasn't either.
Their classic Alpen Pass is like, you know, very atmospheric, very spacey type deal. This is just kicks to the face.
Yeah, that's a whole complete 180. That's kind of hell. That's kind of back from checking them out, because I've heard a couple of Alpen Pass. I hear this is really good black, but this is like this post shit. Then this right here came out as fuck me. All right. So, okay. So they do have the balls. They got their soft side, but they can kick you the fucking teeth as well. So, and apparently they dropped a new EP as well. September 29th. Apparently I didn't even fucking know that. Check that out.
I didn't either. I'm going to have to check that shit out. This is the Trench Warfare album from Minnenwerfer. Feuervaults. One of the best albums of the year.
Goddamn right.
On that shit. Another great release, Slight Immortal Worship, since we were mentioning Immortal earlier, and that is Saturnian Bloodstorm, the latest release from Lamp of Murmur. Bit of a podcast darling band, bit of a black metal underground band, or dare I say a hipster black metal band.
So I'm told. I don't listen to them, so.
Their previous releases got them a lot of hype, and when this one came out, you either really, really loved it, as some people did, but there was also a little bit of a blowback. Once you become the hipster darling of the underground, you get some pushback, and this album did. It took some criticisms for sounding a little too much like the bands it's clearly trying to worship or takes influence from, but don't let that distract you from tracks like The Hymns of Death and Rays of Might, Seal of the Dominator, and In Communion with the Winter Moon. There is a great black metal record here, and while it might not be a top 10 album of the year level black metal release, it's certainly good enough to make it on the best black metal releases of 2023, goddammit. And it sure as fuck does.
First of all, seriously, who's to complain about anyone sound like another band? There's literally thousands of bands that just copy Dark Throat of Marduk. It's always a blasting tremolo. That's all it is. I find that shit hilarious. I can really do it. It sounds like so-and-so. And yeah, there's literally thousands of them. Cyclone Battalion that do the same goddamn thing. Like, come on now.
It's really
fair
funny
with this.
It's really funny that you are playing apologist for a band that kind of rips off another band's sound, because the next release we're talking about is Burning Shadows in the Southern Sky from Necrofire. You can take the lead, sir. You can take the lead, sir, and tell us why their favorite band is not Dissection.
Oh, the favorite band is totally Dissection. They just add a little bit of more atmosphere and a little sprinkle of Southern charm in there, but this is essentially Dissection. This record here is a little more produced, actually. Got some, the guy that produced Unsane, it's more kind of mainstream bands, has like bigger, bulkier production to it. And they essentially take, if you like the first record, it's a little more polished, it's a little catchier. So if you like the first one, I think you really like this one. I think it's a bit of improvement. The only song I don't really care for is Two of the Wolves. It's not a bad song. Every song's there, great, but that's the one. It's like where everything else just you know, two horns away from fucking air. But this is some great shit. If you like that down dirty best section.
Total Southern Darkness, Forbidden Light of the Black Moon, Destroying Angels, and On Wings of Death, We Burn the Sky really stood out to me. I think I remember mentioning in the release, it's not often you hear people talk about Southern Darkness, and as a Southern boy for the United States, as are you, Richard, that touched my heart there. Thank you. We, too, like the black shit down south. And before we get in any trouble with that statement, we're going to move on. One Man Black Metal Project from New York City. Whoa. Back with a new release, Legacies of Frailty. Is it good? Of course it fucking is. That's why it's on this list. Check it out.
Take your word for it. No idea.
Gotta keep going. Gotta keep going. Okay. This band released their swan song. I had no idea this record was coming out. It released and the band was like, actually, we're done. Fuck you. Enjoy this shit. And that is Untergang from Urfaust. Urfaust is from the Netherlands. They put out this art house, I guess you could say, interpretation of black metal. There's lyrics, but really it's just the guy wailing. It sounds like his flesh is being peeled from his body as his soul is being swallowed because of some arcane ritual he performed that went totally wrong. Their 2012 album, Ritual Music for the True Clochard, is a black metal classic for all time. And this release, Untergang, is a little bit in that vein. Seven tracks. I think it's 37, 38 minutes long. Really lends itself to multiple listens here, which is odd when you consider the fact that like this shit's like evil, dark, depressing, unrelenting, but that's okay when your black metal is this good. Vernichtung, Reliquiumstaub, and Holen Cosmos really stood out, grabbed me by the heartstrings, especially since this is the final release from this band. And it came out the day before my birthday. It was like a final birthday present from Urfaust. The band actually just discovered this year and was diving into their back catalog. They're so killer, and I'm really sad that I essentially missed them for the entirety of their career, but I'm glad I got to call myself a fan of them while they still technically existed, and I got to listen to this one on my birthday. Happy birthday to me. Rest in peace, Urfaust. Untergang is one of the best releases of 2023, not only in black metal, but in heavy metal, period.
Very interesting. It's like a drugged out 60s style vocals with like art house black bullet groove. And it's a little bit of everything. It's very, it's good shit.
Yeah, it is very psychedelic. And I guess that's something I didn't actually really touch on, but that some lysergic tinges here and there, shall we say, to their black metal.
I could definitely be in like a, you know, Fear Loathing Las Vegas type of situation with the shit playing back. I'll be able to go hand in hand with one another.
Yeah, badass trips. Badass trips all around.
Yes. Yes.
Shit's getting black. Even blacker than we were before. Mortuary Drape. Black Mirror. Do you like your shit doomy? Do you like your shit crusty? Do you like your shit dark? Do you like your shit talking about death? And why are we talking about shit? Mortuary Drape. Black Mirror. Great record. Check it out.
Seeing them at MDF next year. Gotta check this album out still.
Yeah, I mean, I was supposed to see them at Prague Death Mass, but as I spoke about on the pod, I'm sorry, I'm old. I'm not
1 a.m.
1:45 a.m. to see your set start. I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, I'm at the point now. I hate weekday shows. I fucking hate weekday shows. I want a Friday or Saturday and I have where I can rest. I'll be straight up. So it's about 11 o'clock and there's the headliner setting up. Like, anyways, this is a band I actually discovered this year. The band's called A Sadistic Force. The album's called Midnight Assassin. They're from Texas. They're kind of like a black thrash thing. Midnight, Hell Ripper, definitely in that vein with a little more oomph to it. I would say the first part of the record, the first part of the record is a little catchier. Kind of has more of the bigger songs on there. The second half's still good, though. You know, slightly lesser so. But if you like, you know, black and thrash, you know, Satan, heavy metal, spikes and leather, you'll fucking love this shit. Sadistic Force, Midnight Assassin through Goat Throne Records. A great, great record label as well. If you like death metal, black metal, thrash, just kick-ass fucking attitude, Texas style. Check out Goat Throne Records as well.
Nice. This next release, I know you got a chance to listen to, I think, just today, but goddamn, I'm glad you did. I know you are too, because it is one of the best albums of the year. And that is The Atheist from Three Eyes of the Void. formerly from Kiev in the Ukraine, but now located in Poland. This band is signed to Folter Records. They kind of focus more on life and nature and philosophy and other like white metal theme shit like that. But don't let that turn you off, because The Atheist is a searing slab of not only expertly played black metal, very proggy black metal, very melodic black metal, but also very varied and dynamic black metal. Fantastic production, everything from the searing guitar riffs to the classy introduction of saxophone.
Sax, baby.
It's a full-on invasion, whether it's Rivers of Nihil and death metal to now here in black metal. Like, is the saxophone just here to stay? Is the saxophone now just like an accepted instrument in the world of heavy metal? If it's done as well as it's done here, then I'm totally okay with it. Tracks Against the One, Descent, and No More Light absolutely rip and tear through any expectation you might have of this band. Anytime you think you've got them pigeonholed into a certain sound or style, they surprise you. But stays black.
Blacker. Masterclass of progressive black metal. It's polished. It's got oomph. It is great shit. And I guess I should go to black, but I'm a very much a hit or miss guy with black. I'm either all in or, folding. But this shit, all fucking in, baby. This shit's goddamn great, dude. Top five album of the year. Easily. Fucking easily.
I want to take a slight detour here. There's two EPs I want to talk about. One comes to us from Verkalak.
That one as well.
Yeah, Martirul Grozai. Sorry if I butchered that shit. Do you like your shit lo-fi, talking about vampires and werewolves and other shit that doesn't actually exist? Of course you do. Tracks like Sabbath to a Bleeding Moon is the reason why you even listen to this shit in the first place. Cut yourself and listen to Verkalak.
Verkalak, the Irish band?
Verkalak. No, this band is from Romania.
Okay, this is the Irish. Okay, just making sure. So, holy fuck, I didn't hear about this. We keep track of this shit.
All right,
sorry.
No. Romania. So obviously they're going to talk about vampires and werewolves and all that shit, as you do when you are from Romania. This next band is not talking about vampires and werewolves. They're talking about the horrors of World War One, because that is their shtick. Henon and Fieber is back with another EP, U-Bootsman. And surprise, it kicks ass. Confidstern will stick in your head, full stop. Next time you hear any sort of beeping sound, whether it be from your microwave or from your watch when your heart rate goes too much, tell me you're not going to cure yourself in your head. Engulf, it's Sturm. Finished out with De Havari. This EP is a must listen. Super excited to hear their full length coming next year. Another release, Black Pyre, their album Fall of the Northern Kingdom. It's like a medieval power metal, D&D style black metal shit. Little spacey, little melodic, not quite so evil. Talks about how shitty it is to be a peasant and what it means to live when your life kind of sucks. Tracks like Withering Winter and Castel Caridin really illustrate this fact here. Also big fan of the title track, Fall of the Northern Kingdom, and Don't Sleep on Moonlit Aether as well.
Track two, I thought it was about five songs off this track two. I thought it was fucking that fucking gallop, dude. That gallop just got his fucking fist pump the goddamn kitchen, chug a beer. Dude, this shit's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, dude. Withering Winter. Good shit. So we already mentioned one band that worships dissection. Let's just mention another band. How about a band that doesn't worship dissection, but they might have fully transformed into them at this point? I'm, of course, talking about Tholkandra, back with Hail the Abyss. As I was discussing in our review earlier this year, maybe this band does dissection better than dissection. I know that's fucking blasphemous, but goddamn, have you heard Tholkandra? Holy shit. Tracks like Acheronian Cult, fantastic. On the Wings of Cosmic Fire, amazing. Is that a little bit of a goat whore vibe I heard in here? Maybe. It didn't stick around too long, but that kind of black and roll tinge is really, really prevalent on that song. Fantastic. It's melodic death metal and black metal expertly blended together. You would assume John Nodvite was still in the band. Murders aside,
but instead, my awful face tattoo at near the end.
Yes, it's all the best parts of dissection with none of the bad parts. It's like from Dewey Cox. It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings. Hail the Abyss. Hail the Abyss from Tholkandra. If you're missing dissection, musically speaking, and who is it these days? You have the next best thing in Thalcondra. Stephen Coomer, also of Obscura, does not miss when it comes to Thalcondra. Killer. Last but not least, we have Veil of Death, Rapture from Asagraum, this all-female black metal band. Yes, 8 tracks of traditional black metal, but damn, there's some real ferocity going on here. Fearless Dominance and Impure Fire were two of my favorites on here, although I also did like Veil of Death Ruptured as well.
Solid record, very enjoyable. So
great. Do you have any anything else you want to talk about? Any other
releases? I do have another surprise release that they just threw up a month ago. A darling of myself, Worm, put a split album with Dream Unending. And I just discussed the Worm side, but Worm have ascended past their funeral doom black metal roots to now kind of fully embrace the Emperor more melodic keyboard side of death metal. But I'm Blue Nothing, the previous EP, I didn't like what they did there, but I kind of felt it was kind of an intro song, a real song. So this record, this split album, they gave us 3 original fully written songs. I'd say it's some... I dig it a lot. It's 3 tracks, Raven Blood, Midwinter Tears, and Sea of Sorrow. All really killer. My favorite would probably be track 2 on side B, Midwinter Tears. And it's definitely the most polished release because they're going for that more symphonic style. So it makes sense. They kind of clean up the dirty rawness of their previous albums. Especially the vocals, kind of like the cavernous effect of Forever Glade and Gloom Lord. It's kind of clean up for the Blackwell style. And it makes me a little sad. I understand they're moving and having flow change to a whole different thing. I respect that. We'll keep it solid. But I do kind of miss the more raw, cavernous vocals. But if you like that type of symphonic, melodic black, I think you'll really enjoy this. And just kind of skip the Dream Ending side. It kind of fucking sucks, in my opinion. But, you know, that's just me.
And there it is. We're done. Blackest of the Black 2023 in the books. I promised you 32 releases. We gave you 33, you ungrateful bitches. Thank you so much for fucking listening. If there's a record that you thought we missed in the world of black metal that came out this year, please shoot it our way. I'd love to listen to it. Obviously, it can't make the list because I won't get it in time, but I could make up for my sins. I could atone and listen to it next year. And I'd love to talk about any of your suggestions on what we've been listening to coming up in 2024 on the Fundamentalist Podcast. Donahue, thank you once again for making Blackest of the Black a success and yes, for contributing to my favorite Fundamentalist Podcast episode every single year. It's a shame Bogorovich wasn't here to bounce some black metal bullshit off of, but you know what? We make do with what we can here. With that being said, thank you for joining, Richard. I'm Dual Guest.
And I'm Richard Donahue.
We'll talk to you motherfuckers next year in 2024. Please listen to the best album reviews of 2023 coming out next week. And then after that, we'll see you in the new year. Later.